And thank you for reminding us of that. I mentioned to the first service this morning that we could get one of those old-fashioned phone booths, you know, where you got in there and shut the door behind you, and we could put on top of there that we were taking a line, taking people that could show us when Jesus failed, and we'd still have plenty of room in that phone booth, and they're not big for people who could say that Jesus had failed them, because we have failed him a lot. But he has never failed us. Thank God for Jesus Christ, and thank Jesus for our salvation. What a wonderful joy. Thank you, ladies, for reminding us of that. Well, it is good to see all of you this morning. We are glad to see, if you're a guest with us this morning, again, thank you for joining us. Trust that the Lord does a great work in your heart, and we're also glad to see Callie Arrowwood over here. Callie, she's talking right now, but it's her sister. We allow that, I guess. So, up from Pensacola Christian College. And so I kept a secret. Your dad told me you were coming, but I kept a secret, Callie. So I didn't even tell your sister. So I'm proud of myself on that. But welcome home. We're glad you're here. And it's so good to see each of you this morning. And I hope you'll get by and see Callie as well. And tell her you're praying for her down at school. And thank God for her being down there at the college. Well, I want you to look, if you would, at Luke chapter 1. We're continuing on through a passage here about Zacharias and Elizabeth. As you find your place there in Luke chapter 1, we're going to read here, but as you find your place there, I did hear this story about these guys that were bungee jumping one day, and you know, bungee jumping, they put those big rubber bands on your ankles, and you just jump off of a perfectly good bridge. The Norrises go up to Bridge Day up at West Virginia. They just jump right off of there. Well, you know what bungee jumping is. These guys thought, well, we could make a lot of money if we just start our own business, and so they were down there on the border in Texas. They said, we're just going to go over on into Mexico, and so both of them agreed, said, okay, sounds good. They pulled their money together. They got the tower, the cords, the insurance, all of them. They went down there and set up in this first town. And as they were setting up, they had a good group of people that were looking at them and just seeing what they were involved in. So they got it all finished up, and they were up there on the tower. And the first one, he hooked up, and he jumped. As he jumped, he was supposed to bounce back up, of course, which he did. And his buddy, his partner, was supposed to catch him, but he didn't catch him. But he noticed when he was come back up, he looked like he'd bleeding out one side of his head there. But he missed him, and he went back down. He came back up, and when he came up, he tried to grab him, but he couldn't get him this time either. It looked like he was bleeding from the other side. And each time he tried to catch him, but a few times went past. But every time he came back up, he was bloodier and beat up more than he was before. Finally, he reached out there and grabbed him and got him up on the platform. He said, I'm so sorry. He said, what was the problem? Is the cord too short? Are you hitting the ground down there? What's happening? I'm so sorry. We've messed something up. And he said, no. He said, are you sure? Something wrong? He said, no, everything's fine. The cords are the right length. All that is fine. But what in the world is a pinata? In Mexico. What in the world is a piñata? So I'll have to tell you later. Well, he didn't like that one. I did hear this other one that this guy was walking through the woods. Buddy Callahan told me this morning, this guy was walking through the woods, and he heard a voice says, hey, if you kiss me, I'll turn into a beautiful woman. And he looked around. Nobody was there. And he looked around, but heard the same phrase again. Lo and behold, there's a frog down there on the ground. He said again, hey, if you kiss me, I'll turn into a beautiful woman. He put that up and put it in his overall pockets and took that frog on, showed it to a buddy of his. And the frog said the same thing. And the guy said, man, that's amazing. And he took it on to his next friend. Same thing. Said, man, that's amazing. Well, those guys got together. Says, well, aren't you going to kiss him, make him turn into a beautiful woman? He says, what are you in the world are you talking about? He said, there's beautiful women everywhere. He said, have you ever saw a talking frog? So incentive was gone. Well, you remember Zacharias and Elizabeth, parents of John the Baptist, unable to have children, but God was going to do something special to them, with them, through them. And we're going to look at this passage and see the appearance of the angel that comes, and Zacharias is troubled by that, but he's going to do something. He's going to have a big job for God. But anytime you have a big job for God, it requires you to have faith that God can get the big job done. And I want to preach about that for a little while, that the big job requires faith. You're looking at verse number 11 of Luke 1. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. You remember that Zacharias is that priest, that he's doing the duties there. And when Zacharias saw him, verse 12, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. You'd be troubled as well if an angel showed up to you. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So if Zacharias is going to go home and tell Elizabeth, and they're going to do this big job for the Lord, then they're going to have faith that God can do what God wants to do through them. And I want you to know that sometimes when God delivers messages to you, it's going to scare you as well. Now, he's probably not going to come down and let you hear an audible voice either from him or from an angel, although he could. But chances are he'll not, and I've never had that. But I have had the Lord direct me in a very definite way and impressed upon me what I was supposed to do as God was leading me. And I have to say that some of those things that God has led me to do, just like in your life, it's taken a great amount of faith, because it's easy to speak, but it's hard to act. I talked to a pastor friend of mine, and he was pastoring a church, and he got a call from a much, much larger church, actually about 10 times the size of his church. And as they were asking him to come and consider being the pastor of this church, and he said, my church is like this, and that church is like this. And he said, I know how to deal with the problems at the level I'm at, but how to deal with that one 10 times what I do. And it was overwhelming to him, but he sought the Lord, and the Lord seemed to lead him to do that, and he did a great job. But you know what? You and I are going to get overwhelmed by the things that God puts on our hearts to do. You take somebody who graduates from their home and they say, well, I feel like God wants me to go off to Bible college. And it's a wonderful thing. I feel like that's what God wants me to do. There's so many obstacles to overcome, especially when somebody's got to make their way and they've got to change all the part about their life and make all of these different decisions, and they're going into a different era of life. And so it's a lot, but you've got to realize that God leads us into do these things. And when he does, we've got to have the faith to step in. Not only that, you take some other change of a person's life. Somebody finds somebody that they believe that God wants them to marry. And they look at that person, they say, hubba, hubba, he's the one, or she's the one, or whatever they say, and say, wow, this is it. And it's easy to say, wow, she's the one. But then after that, after you make that decision, and then you stand in front of a pastor or an official or clergy or whoever it is of some sort, and then you walk out of there, and as a friend of mine said, he got married in the church there in Iowa, and he said, as soon as that pastor said, you may now kiss the bride, I pronounce you man and wife, and I kiss the bride, he said, as soon as we did that and turned and faced that crowd, he said, oh my goodness, just a weight came over me. I'm assuming it was just, it's left him a little bit, but he's still married. And so I thought, oh my goodness. I don't think it was a what have I done. It was more a thing of, wow, I'm now speaking and I'm now living and I'm now doing this, and we're two became one. And so whenever you get in something that's big, if God wants you to do it, it requires a lot of faith. I want you to look in verse 11. I'm going to show you here the distressed hearer. In verse 11, there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord, standing on the right side, in verse number 12. And when Zacharias saw it, he was troubled. He was distressed. He was troubled, and fear fell upon him. You better believe he was troubled if you're getting ready tomorrow morning and nobody's there in the house, but all of a sudden there is somebody else in the house, except there was, you know there's nobody there but you, but then you turn around, there is somebody there, it's not you, it's going to scare you as well. It doesn't matter what the message that angel's bringing, it's going to make you a little bit alarmed. And look at this. He says that I'm here to tell you a few things. And then he's going to tell him that you're going to have a little one. It's down there in verse number 14 or so, 15. It says that your wife is going to have a little one. And that was strange to them, because we already knew that they were barren. They couldn't have any children. So God was definitely working. And then he said, you're going to call his name John. If we read the whole chapter, we would see that that wasn't the name that his child should have had, because it was common back in that day to give a name where you reach back from the family and give a name from there. And they said, nobody in our family is named John. So not only was it going to be unexpected, but he was going to be also named a name that shouldn't have been in that family. But I'm thinking about the distress of them. I'm wondering about you. Have you ever had something that God put on your heart and it was bigger than what you thought you could get done? If you haven't, I challenge you to take some time this week and look out over the next season of your life and say, Lord, what do you have for me? You say, Pastor, God's done with me. Not if you're still breathing. Because it doesn't matter what age you are, what status of life, or where you are in this journey. If you're still here, God's got a purpose for you. And I'm challenging you this morning to get alone with God long enough for Him to get a hold of your attention and arrest it so you can be a little distressed. You say, Pastor, you want me to be distressed? Well, distressed like Zacharias was, so that you'll look and say, okay, God, if that's what you want. A friend of mine worked for a job, and he was struggling because the job was going to play out, and he didn't have any money, so he took this job. They weren't making any money. He took this job at this other company, and he worked his way up through there till some years ago. He got to a spot where he was able to make an offer on that company to purchase it, and he owns it now and has done well with it, and the Lord has used it to bless his family and to bless other families because of it. But I can tell you that he had some scary moments there when he felt like that's what God was leading him to do, when he felt like he was leading him to step out in this venture of faith for this business that he was going to purchase. Another friend of mine who was used to go to Pensacola Christian College, and as he was there, he would get these shoes for all the preacher boys, and before you get thinking good of them, he wasn't giving them away. He'd got them at a discount spot. They were overruns and factory seconds. He'd come down to those preacher boys, and he's just making him a business. He would sell them out of his car, out of his room, until some of the administration didn't like that as well, I don't think. But he just always had that kind of mind, and he's since started several different businesses, and God's blessed him, but God's also taken him and used him to bless hundreds of missionaries as they come through their church there. I'm saying to you, whenever God leads you to stretch out and do something, then I would think that it scares all of us. But I don't want you to let that fear, because we know that perfect love casteth out fear. I don't want you to let that fear keep you back from doing what God has led you to do. So I see the distress here, but I want you to look in verse 14 as we make our way through this passage. Because I like to alliterate, I'm looking at the delighted father. Thou shalt have joy and gladness. He said, well, I mean, I'm having too much joy and gladness right now. I'm scared. My knees are knocking. My teeth are chattering because I'm afraid of this angel being here. Thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. We see that in verse number 16, if you go over just a couple of verses, and many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. So we see, first of all, how it is easy to get overwhelmed when God leads you to something. No, all jokes aside, you come up to that point where you believe that God wants you to be married, and you step out with faith and say, this is where we're going. Well, that's a scary endeavor. God's going to be with you, but it does give some distress. But we see with Zacharias, this delighted father, we see that he's going to step out for the Lord. He's going to do more for God than he's done before, because up until now he's been the priest, he's been serving the Lord, but now he's going to be the dad to John the Baptist. And John the Baptist, according to verse number 16, is going to turn a lot of people to make them turn and look to the Lord, their God. I see the delight in families here in our church that have had their young people rise up and go announce their call to missions, or go announce their call to go serve God with their life. And yes, they're saddened that they won't get to see him around, but they're overjoyed because they get to see them go and take the gospel to where places that it hasn't been. And so we see this delighted father. We realize that he's delighted because he's going to have a son, but he's also delighted because that son is going to go be used of God to turn people to the Lord. And Zacharias, in the work of God, is certainly glad to hear that. I imagine, if you could, that the buttons on his robe or his coat, like we say now, would have almost been popping off because of his puffed up chest. Not because he was arrogantly proud, because he was thankful that God was going to use his family to do something for God's glory. So you couples, you young couples that maybe are just thinking about getting married, some of you just not married too long, you want to know what you can give your grandparents and your parents as a Christmas gift. You can tell them, either by your actions or by your words, that you're going to continue to be faithful to church and be faithful to Jesus Christ. I'm going to live my life in a way that honors God. That's more of a gift to them than anything that you'll put under that tree when you get back to their house to celebrate Christmas. And so we see this delighted father. The Bible says in 3 John, I believe it is, chapter or verse number 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. You want to give something wonderful to a parent of yours, a young single or a young couple or a young new parents, then just raise their grandchildren to live for the Lord and raise their grandchildren, putting them in the youth group and putting them in gospel missions society, wherever that is, and train them in the Bible. I'm saying this morning that we ought to have this delighted father as we see him launching out to be a trainer of John the Baptist. Somebody said it like this: true faith doesn't look at the obstacles, but rather at God. And although Zacharias was distressed and worried, he said, "Well, Lord, if that's what you're in, that's where I'm going." An older lady had a beautiful faith. People gave a great testimony of it. One fella told her, a sister in Christ there at the church, says, "I believe if God told you to jump through a stone wall, you'd jump." She answered, "Well, if the Lord told me to jump through the wall, it would be my business to jump, be God's business to make the hole." Now, she may have more faith than I do, because I'd want to look and make sure there's a hole there before I jumped at the wall. But you get the point. And we see the delighted father. And I hope that God has burdened your heart to do something. You say, "Pastor, what could I do?" I don't know. But I'm challenging everybody this week to spend enough time with the Lord, but to the time that he would tell you, impress upon you, bring something to mind that you could do that would honor him and be above what you can do. You say, "I don't know what that would be." I don't either. But I do know that sometimes while I'm walking and talking with the Lord, or while I'm sitting and talking with the Lord, or wherever I am praying, it just seems like the Lord brings some things to mind. I say, "Whoo, Lord, that's going to be a big one." You understand, as the pastor of this church, I'm scared of some of the things that the Lord, I think, would have us do. You say, "Why would you be scared?" Well, I'm not scared because they're wrong. I'm not scared because I don't think we should do them. I'm just scared because I don't know how we're going to get them done. And so I'm challenging you in your life, in your marriage, in your family, in your workplace, wherever it is, if God's led you to do something, you would see this delighted father. You rejoice at his birth. But I've got to get to the part that's a lot of work now. Look in verse number 15. Okay, you got this boy on the way. He's as good as on the way. You'll conceive him there later. But he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and he shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. I want you to see this last part, and that's the dedicated child. Not that the child was dedicated, although he was, but I'm talking about the parents dedicated him to the Lord. That meant that God had already launched out in the mind of Zacharias as he showed him the angel there. God sent the angel. He already knew what he was supposed to do. He said, "We're going to have this child," and that in itself was a miracle. And now we're going to see this child grow up and turn many people back to God. But there's where the work got started. "All right, Zach, now you're going to have to start doing some things. It's all been God's work now. But God's going to use you to do some of this work." He says, "That boy that you're going to have there at the house," he said, "I don't want him touching that strong drink. I don't want him touching any of that. We're going to separate him. He's going to be used of God. I want him to be a pure young man. I want him to do these things." And so he says that Zacharias and Elizabeth are going to be used of God and dedicate this young man to the Lord. He was going to have to, Zacharias was going to have to get with it. So after God leads you in a direction, after God puts something on your heart, it's easy to say, "Oh, thank you, Lord, for that," and then not step out and do it. Do you know there's been many young people, and many of them are here today. You've been to different youth meetings and youth rallies and conferences and all of these, and camps and teen camp and all those things. And it's one thing, it was mentioned at a youth rally sometime back, it's one thing to say, "That's what God wants me to do." But you know where the hard part comes? After that emotional time, now to follow up on what God told you to do. Same with your marriage. I have no doubt whatsoever that every husband in this room today has had a time in their life and they've said, "I need to be a better husband." It's one thing to have that thought. Undoubtedly, the Lord Jesus Christ brought that to you. If you're a saved individual, the Holy Spirit brought it to you that you're to do that. But it's easy to get up from that little talk with the Lord and then go right back in to be the way that you've always been before. So the work isn't when God reveals to you what you're supposed to do. The work is after God's revealed to you what you're supposed to do, that you go do it. Many, if not most, many, let's say, of the people in this room right here, even as a believer in Christ, you've spent some time out of church. Not because you were sick, that's normal, but that you're away from the Lord. They weren't out into open rebellious sin that you were disgracing your family, but you weren't like you were before. you weren't in church like you should. You weren't seeking the Lord. You didn't have a close relationship. Can I tell you what got you from there to where you are here? Sometime or another, you had a little talk with Jesus, as the little song goes, but the Lord impressed upon your heart, I need to get back doing what I'm supposed to. But that wasn't all, because you probably had that thought many different times. I talk to people all the time who are out of church. They are saved, and they love the Lord, but they're not where they're supposed to be. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. Christian people are supposed to be in church. And so they're not where they're supposed to be, but they think about it a lot. But I can tell you when that thought turns from a thought to an action, and that is when you do like Zechariah did, and you start dedicating this boy to the Lord. All right. We're going to make sure that the parameters are set. We're going to raise him like the angel told us that God wanted us to raise him. There's a whole lot of difference between having an idea and following through with an idea. Many people have business ideas. Oh, this would be a great business, but they don't serve anybody any product until somebody takes that idea and dedicates themselves to it and labors for it and then works it until it comes to fruition. And so we see that this dedicated child, not that the child was dedicated, but his parents were dedicated. Sometimes we just got to step out and do it. We've got to step out and do what God has put on our hearts to do. A bunch of old preachers and one young preacher were at a preacher's meeting, and this young preacher was nervous because all this room full of preachers was there, and it was a little daunting to this young preacher boy. And he stuttered around a little bit and stammered around a little bit more, and he gave his introduction, and he kind of gave his introduction again, and he stumbled around some more, and he was giving all of this foundation to where everybody in that room, they knew where he was going, they knew what he was going to preach about because he'd done told them, but he hadn't started. He just kind of was nervous, and he was just trying to go on and on. Finally, an old preacher in the back stood up and he told him, hollered out from the back, he says, you've got your train loaded. Now pull out of the station. And you know, some of us are that way in our Christian life. We wonder, Lord, show me what to do. But we haven't done what God's shown us the last five times. There's areas in our life that God certainly worked in our heart. He's already told us how we're supposed to be a better husband. He's already told us how we're supposed to lead our family. He's already told us what we're supposed to do in that business venture. He's already told us what we ought to do in serving the Lord with some talent that we have. But we're not following those things, and yet we come and say, God, please show me what to do. Thankfully, God's more gracious than we are, because I would answer back and say, not till you go back there. But we understand that they dedicated this child. One of our problems is execution. We can conjure up ideas and we can come up with them, but it's hard for us to get the rubber down to meet the road, as the old commentator said. Our problem is execution. God's worked on my heart. God's given me direction. God's given me assurance. What do I lack? I lack the dedication to move out and do what God has told me to do. There's a young man walking into the captain of a riverboat on the Mississippi River years ago. And the captain asked this person, he wanted to be the wheelman, the person that did the steering. He says, what experience? He said, I've been 5 years on these boats. He says, do you know the location of the shoals and the snags down, up and down this river? He said, no, sir. He said, but I know where they ain't. And that's where I plan to steer this boat. You know, sometimes you got to get to a place where you know where they ain't. I know I can't get snagged up on here and I can't get here, but I do have to pull out of the dock and I got to go for the Lord. Sometimes we get stopped in fear and we're unable to move forward. But my friend, if God's already shown you, I have no doubt that there are people, I love to hear all of our folks that play music. I have no doubt, I'm talking about specifically here at the church, that there are more people who play instruments out there, and God's moved in your heart a time or two. So I should get that out. I should talk to Daniel and maybe I'll use that for the Lord. So I'm up here and this, let this orchestra section grow. I ought to do that. Well, you probably should. There's others of you that you have the gift of teaching. You know, you have a way of conveying truth, and the Lord's put on your heart. You say, well, if they'd come and ask me, I'd do it. Well, how about this? How about you come ask one of the staff? Let them put you somewhere. Eventually, we're going to have to take that news of the angel and say, all right, I ain't going to let no wine or strong drink come to his lips, because you don't want him to be impaired. You want him to be fully relying on you. I've got it. I know they had other parameters, of course. A young boy in that age was supposed to meet different requirements. And Zacharias and Elizabeth said, yes, sir, we'll do it. And many of us know what God has directed us to do already. We're supposed to be, again, here at the church, on that church bus or in that class or greeting out here or being one of these ushers and helping in the nursery, helping somewhere, and go away from the church and then go to your house. Some of us know we're supposed to engage in that marriage again because God's already been, you've been distant. You've not been absent physically, but you've been absent spiritually. You've been absent emotionally, and God's already moved on your heart as a husband to get back in and re-engage and be the husband that loves and protects and guides and helps that wife that she desperately needs. Some of you young people, you've already been convicted of the Lord to honor and obey and respect those parents, but then after you have that time with the Lord, you say, I need to do that, then you slip right back into that rebellious attitude. My friend, what I'm asking all of us to do is what God's already worked on us. Let's dedicate ourselves to that task. Certainly God will guide us after this, but let's do what He's already led us to do. We understand there is that dedicated child. So God may be telling you something so big in this room that it's scaring you. Well, I challenge you, if God's in it, then you got to sometimes check it out. Sometimes it doesn't make any sense at all in the world, and then sometimes it doesn't make any sense because God's not in it as well. But find out God's in it, and then step out. Because as John the Baptist was dedicated to the Lord, and certainly he was, you can read his bio in the scriptures, there was a couple that was dedicated before him, and that's Zacharias and Elizabeth. And so as they were dedicated to the Lord, then they dedicated their young baby to the Lord, and God used him in a very special way. So fathers in this room, love and lead your family. You already know you're supposed to. Again, we've got so many fathers in this nation that they're either absentee, literally absent, or they're in the home, but emotionally and spiritually and mentally, they're absent because they're everywhere else except in that family where they need to be. Husbands, it's not time to be a passive participant of this marriage. It's time to be an active one that loves that wife like God tells you to in His Scripture. You don't get any points just for sticking around. God wants you to be engaged and involved and love your sweetheart like she desperately needs to be loved. Christians, all of us need to share our faith. I know for sure that all of us have had a great burden over time to be more vocal when we get an opportunity about what changed our life, and that's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You had that feeling, you had that conviction, you had that work of God, but have you done anything about it? And many times the answer is no. All I'm saying is, you know where you're supposed to be going. Now go there, like that preacher told that boy. You got your train loaded. Now pull out. If you're a Christian, you know the gospel. You know it enough. If you don't know, get comfortable with it. Then you got your train loaded. Now pull out of the station and go find somebody that you work with that needs to hear the gospel as well. We're getting ready for one of the most exciting services that we have, and that'll be the Christmas Eve service. I'm giving you plenty of warning. It'll be a short 40 to 45 minute service. It'll be on Christmas Eve, of course, and it'll be right here in the auditorium. It's a perfect time for you to say to some coworker, some neighbor, some friend, or whatever, would you come to a service for a very traditional Christmas Eve service? And that's a marching order that we all can have. But undoubtedly, you as a Christian, you've already been convicted by the Lord to share your faith. Here's an opportunity to do just that. So Christians, share your faith. Teachers, God's already given you a gift. I don't mean teachers in the official status that you teach somewhere at a school, all of that too. But you know, if you've got the ability to convey truth from where you are to other people, then find yourself a place to do that. Teach, pray, change lives. I'm saying this morning that these big jobs require faith. And when God has worked on your heart, let's be faithful to follow Him as Zacharias and Elizabeth did. Father, bless us now as our prayer. Thank You for this time to be in Your house together. Lord, Zacharias and Elizabeth, these were real people who really didn't have a child, but were really serving You. And then a real angel came down and made the announcement. But from there, they picked up and did the work that you told them to do. Lord, help us to be faithful, to do what you lead us to do, and we will certainly thank you for all of it. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If you're here this morning and God spoke to your heart as a believer, maybe there's something, there's somebody you need to witness to, there's some relationship that you need to go back into repair. You've known it, you've thought it again and again. Maybe God's just given you the strength this morning, the faith to say, Lord, I'm going to repair that relationship, at least with all that's in me is. Maybe you as a husband, it's time that you start engaging in that marriage again. Your wife's feeling abandoned even though you didn't leave her. Maybe you as parents, it's time that you stop being absentee parents. You stop being parents that aren't engaged and you're going to take on the work again. Whatever it is, maybe you need to start a business. I believe God leads businessmen and businesswomen to launch out and do something to bless their family and to bless other families. If you'll honor God with what comes in, I believe that you are on the right path. Maybe that's something you need to do. I don't know. But I believe the Holy Spirit has directed you. Father, bless us again is our prayer, and we'll certainly thank you for it. As our ladies play, would you stand together if you're able to? If you're not, then sit right there. But if you're able to, stand together with us. And if God's moved upon your heart, some of the people in this room, we're married, but we're not living that fulfilled Christian life, that Christian marriage like God wants us to. It's time to start. Some of us have just been playing church, and we need to be serious about it. We need to be those pillars in the church that we read about in this great church of years gone by, that some dedicated individuals kept the doors open. I want to be in that group. I believe you do as well. But the only way that will happen is if we dedicate ourselves to do what God has led us to do. The altar is open for you. You're welcome to come and pray. Sometimes families are afraid to branch out and be a true Christian family, have children, raise them for the Lord. My friend, don't live in fear. Honor God, dedicate yourself to the task that He's given you. Maybe it's on a more specific technical matter that you, not technical, but maybe a specific matter that you're here and you know you're saved, but you need to be baptized. You just want to come today and tell Brother Daniel, I need to get that scheduled. We'll do it real soon. We sure will. You know you've needed to, and the Lord's burdened you about it, then I challenge you to come. We're going to play a few more verses. Maybe there's some other need. You want to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. You would want to come present yourself for that. Whatever your leading of the Lord is, you mind God. One last request, if you're here and you're not sure that you're saved. You've been thinking for a good while, I need to come to Jesus. I need to finish. I need to get that taken care of. Yep, Pastor, I need to. Yep, I need to. Today's the day. If you're here and you're not sure that you're saved, undoubtedly you've had some thoughts over the years or over the months, the weeks, the days. I need to do that. Well, you're right. I'm asking you to step out on faith. Trust Christ as your Savior. Brother Daniel's right down here. If you have some questions and you need more clarity about that, he would take the Bible and show you how you can be sure you're saved. They'll play one more verse after this one ends. And if God's speaking to your heart, I invite you to come. Then we'll close after that, trusting that the Lord has done all, you've done what God has led you to do. We thank God for the chance to be in His house. And what a privilege it is to get to come fellowship together. And so I'm going to ask Brother Daniel to come up one more time. And that song they've been playing is Amazing Grace. You put the first verse and the chorus up there. We'll sing this as our going home song. I'm going to be back in the lobby. If you need anything, Amy and I will be back there together. Please stop by and see us. We'd love to greet you. And then also there's a couple sign-up sheets. We do need help for that Christmas tree down in Founders Park. That's in the table out there. The sign-up is, that is. And then also for the Oasis, that Christmas dinner movie on the 3rd of December, the sign-up is there, so we'll know how much to cater in. And there's other things out there that might be a help to you as well. Thank you for being in church this morning. Brother Daniel, why don't want you to lead us in that song, and then after he's done, you'll be dismissed.
So glad that you've been here. You are dismissed.